¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
A Gao Media Station. Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That doesn't sound like Dell. Your interpretation of your family is off. Lance, how does Dell's family really sound?
Well, I didn't go see that family. I went to the Florida side, and they don't sound like my dad.
Kind of sound like your dad,
no,
I think.
They don't at all. They were born in Georgia and Florida. They don't sound like my dad.
I'm pretty sure they do.
At all.
Pretty sure. Dell.
No.
Okay, Lance, was I right about the Nike commercial? Lance saw the Nike commercial during the break.
Your interpretation was bat bleep crazy. Never was that phrase used. And no, 0% of the way you interpreted it was accurate.
I'm telling you.
0%.
I'm telling you right now, they said in this ad, women are bat bleep crazy.
You know,
case closed.
That was not said.
That's exactly what they said. No. Serena said it.
Listen. The case of the Australian cartoonist was Serena.
Yeah.
The AP, I guess, looked at it and like it did not fall into, we do not believe this is any kind of racist interpretation. They looked at it and it wasn't.
It made her look nuts.
It made her look like a baby. She was jumping up and down, screaming, crying. And then it was satire, which is covered with cartoons. It was satire. And she has been that for a long time. I mean, she's the greatest women's tennis player of all time, I think.
You know what?
Easily. I think easily, right?
Yeah.
But she's also, like John McEnroe, known to be a little difficult sometimes. McEnroe was
that
worse.
Bleep?
No. But McEnroe was way, way worse. But it was not racist. It's depicted when you're a celebrity, you are fair game to get picked at with ironic cartoons and satire.
And you know what? That Australian newspaper doesn't care what you think.
Well, no, that whole thing went. No, that
well,
whole thing
this wasn't,
did go to a council.
Yeah, but it was the Australian. You say the AP. It wasn't the Associated Press. It was the Australian Press Council.
Okay, AP Council. Yeah, is what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the Australian Press Council ruling on one of their own papers, and they said no.
Right.
It's not a big. It's not racist.
Right.
In their eyes.
And I saw it, and I didn't think it was.
Yeah, and in South Africa, wouldn't have been.
Well, South Africa's had their issues.
South Africa's a little different now. Though.
I'm looking, in Australia, they're not all, they've had their issues with the native indigenous people there as well sometimes. I'm looking at it, I mean, the accentuated lips could be something that people would be like, wait a minute, what is that? I could see why some people might take an issue with it.
Yeah.
The lips are large. Probably far too large.
So cartoonish, it should go smaller to try to avoid it.
We know the,
Do we know caricatures? Look, does anyone ever see caricatures?
Caricatures of black people in history.
Right now,
in history.
The hugest teeth. If I go to New Orleans, Jackson Square, and somebody draws, they take whatever. If you don't, if you have a hairline that's receding, wait till you see your cartoon.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm not even. I'm not even judging this on what where
yeah,
this race is not, but caricatures of black people in media.
Was not,
look, I'm just telling you right. what it looks like. Caricatures of black people in media.
I know,
the lips
you
have always
be very,
been exaggerated.
Very careful, but
the lips
has
always
is,
been exaggerated.
That was not the case with this cartoonist, and I didn't think this cartoon
in some other people's eyes it was.
Well, in some other people's eyes, everything is also. There's a racial overtone, and you're trying to secretly get that, over. And I don't think that was the case in this
at all. Caricatures,
I mean, that is
do
one opinion; someone else has another.
Right?
It's covered. Yeah, and somebody else's opinion wasn't held up by the council.
How about the dude?
Who's on this council? Why is this council looked at as the? I'm not even judging it.
Why is the council determined to not have any validity?
Well, that's my point. Who says? I don't know who's on the council. I don't know what goes into their process. So I'm not sure why the council is the be all end all.
My apology, Del. My wife just texted, said, "Let Del talk. Stop interrupting him."
There you go. There you
not
have
a nice,
it. Stop interrupting.
That's
him.
Not nice, Lance.
Okay,
stop
Lance,
snitching,
you,
Del.
No, you did it to me. That you, wasn't you, nice.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get John in here. He wants to talk about Robert Kraft. Actually, he might have some insight here. What do you say, John?
Yeah, you were mentioning that you thought 59 plus 20 might be a little cheap. I once had a buddy who got serviced for two wings and a biscuit over on OSD.
Hold on.
He got what?
Hold on, kids. Like, for what? Real. Nick, turn it off. Monty can't listen to this. In fact, right. I don't want my kids listening to my show anymore.
$79?
Seriously, don't listen to my show anymore. And if you have a meter, we'll just take the L on that one. My kids
Your
can't listen to our show
anymore. Your family
shouldn't
have a meter since you work here. I'm pretty sure.
Well.
Yeah, it was over on OST. She started out like $15, and he talked her down to the special at KFC, two wings and a biscuit. But she did have a bandage on her head, and her arm was in a sling, but she still got the job done.
Wow. How could she get the job done with an arm in a sling?
How about – you've seen the one with the Taco Bell.
It wasn't the HJ. It was the
– Okay. Yeah. We got to – this. Seriously, we got to ring this in a little bit.
Robert Kraft's the one that started
this
all
this. This is a little too much, kids.
Okay, let's speculate on which PGA Tour player.
Let's make sure we hang on to the license.
John, you know more about the golf world than we do. Take your guess. Top five guys most likely to be
on
that list.
I'm going to turn the mic off now. John's about to guess about which guys are in a trafficking sting.
Well, it's not the trafficking sting. It's the prostitution.
Let's even remove this specific situation. John, you know the tour. Which guys would most likely walk into a place like that?
Which guys would more than likely walk into... Well, if Robert Kraft is going, I mean, I'm sure... I don't know which guy... I mean, he may have played in a pro-am with. I don't know. Called him up. Hey, bring, I got a great place. Listen, okay? It's in Jupiter. Look... Nobody cares, okay? And it's just $79. It's a great deal, okay? Who do you think that Rob and our president, by the way, is behind Robert Kraft? He said he didn't do it.
Well, our president would tell us he didn't do something to Stormy Daniels, and there'd be a payment. So I get why he would be behind
Robert
Kraft.
Our president said he didn't do it. Probably gets a presidential pardon, which is that's a good thing.
He's not going to jail for this.
No, he's not going to jail for this.
People think the NFL will be more will take more action than the court of law will. He'll probably suffer a bigger deal with them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely the NFL will. If Ursay got, what, six games? He's getting a season. He's getting a season.
A season.
Misdemeanor prostitution is going to get him a season.
Could
this
well.
This is what it is.
Could well.
What was Ursay's?
Six.
No, what was his?
Oh, he had a bunch of he had a bunch of drugs. Remember, pills and $29,000 worth of cash.
Yeah.
And he was driving under the influence, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure that from a court of law standpoint that the conversion chart on the charges.
Oh.
Now, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but when you look at the charges.
Yeah. No.
Misdemeanor, solicitation versus DUI. And illegal possession of a controlled substance,
but
right?
But you mentioned it first, is that putting his name with sex trafficking.
Which may not have been very fair, by the way.
It's not fair. It's not fair. He, you know, now.
Unless he's part of this thing.
Right. Are you.
If that comes out, then so be it.
Are you promoting sex trafficking because you do patronize those places?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Are you promoting child labor with Nike? I don't know. I mean,
probably.
Yes.
I feel
yes, you are. If you know that that is happening, is that.
If you're not held to that standard legally, then the others shouldn't be the case either.
But the NFL doesn't. Well, the NFL doesn't need legal. Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, Reuben Foster. They don't need legal. It's actually in the bylaws. We don't care,
John,
if you're charged.
Ezekiel, these are violence against women cases.
That's right. But nothing.
I
no
understand
charges.
It. I'm just saying. I'm not. There's no condoning of anything going on here. I'm strictly trying to stay by the letter of the law and trying to stay consistent because nobody apparently consistency. Is really not a thing in our society at all. There is no such thing as consistency.
No. But by NFL rules, I don't have to have charges, which is, even if Robert Kraft does a walk on this thing, he's still getting suspended.
I get that. I understand that. Why would it be harsher than Irsay?
Because of the sex trafficking tag
what
that's been placed on
it. What does it have to do? No. There is no, if you're consistent, then you say, until we find out that he was part of sex trafficking, or whatever the case may be, I don't understand the correlation between...
Oh, I do. You can, because...
No, it feels like a reach, though.
No. Because you patronize these places, there is a real possibility... It is a problem. Sex trafficking
is a problem. Human trafficking.
Human trafficking is a problem in all over the world, and the people who patronize... places like this actually could be in
but
the
middle. Not
because you create a demand.
The trafficker and drug users also do the same
exactly
thing with cartels.
Right.
And drug users.
That's exactly right.
Drug users, you get misdemeanors for weed and you get, right?
Right.
Or unless you're getting unless you have a certain amount, it's a felony.
And
you
this is a misdemeanor as well.
The people who are getting charged are going to be the traffickers.
Okay,
right?
by your logic, Gordon, just he missed a season because of weed. He misses how many?
No,
Josh Gordon
didn't miss the season because of weed. Josh Gordon missed for multiple failed tests that broke the rules of the collectively bargained agreement.
That's right.
Where he also missed a whole season. It was alcohol.
And now what do we? What
the violation was alcohol. We haven't heard any weed. We just know that he violated terms. We don't know what that is.
Well, we have heard weed because he got caught with weed in college.
Way back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it wasn't recently. But he also had multiple failed tests. They let him go on many of them. So that, I don't like that as an example because that guy was multiple.
Robert Kraft is multiple. They say twice at least, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And alcohol is legal, and in a lot of places, weed is legal. But neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is they don't need, and actually, it's this whole thing, the headlines that it's created, and oh, by the way, it's Robert Kraft, and it's the Patriots
which
again.
Makes it less likely to me that he gets as hard a punishment as you're saying, because there's already a belief. Especially in that organization, that the NFL has ruled intentionally against them
or
in the past,
been
and
too
it's, and
lenient
it's
with them.
Well, Deflategate, that wasn't lenient. They lost a whole pick because of the video camera.
Videogate with the Jets.
They lost a first round pick because of that.
Yeah, and they got a four game suspension.
And they got fined. How much did they get fined for that? That wasn't lenient.
Watch the rest of the what was the latest thing that happened in the league? And he did nothing, and the league reacted like, "What the hell are
I've
you
never
doing?"
Heard this angle that the league is too lenient on the Patriots.
On the
I've
Patriots.
Never heard that.
Oh, I have.
They had an entire.
Absolutely,
well, you've heard it from people who aren't Patriot fans. The only people who think the Patriots are oppressed are the Patriots fans and their players. Everyone else thinks.
I don't think they're oppressed. I think they've gotten penalties that have fit the crime.
Well, not they don't. They think they've been unfairly targeted.
I know.
And other people would believe they get off a little easy sometimes. Not necessarily Tom Brady thing because that went on forever.
I can tell you the Patriots don't, and Robert Kraft doesn't believe that. And they don't think any of that was. Yeah, I mean, they've lost.
Well, watch. I'll bet you it's more than six games. I'll bet you it's more.
No, it may be. My point is, I think this is a rush to make sure we don't want to have human trafficking.
Yeah,
on us.
If you're
involved in human trafficking,
it's not even just the human trafficking. In an environment where women have, we know the environment. I don't have to explain it to you.
I know.
You don't want one of your owners being picked up
in
prostitution.
Cut people's heads off, but if somebody get busted for cocaine usage, and they're not going to.
they hit them pretty hard if you get busted for drugs. Hard.
You get suspended four games or whatever. You get hit. You get hit.
But you don't get put on the owner.
Well, here's the deal, though.
The cartel.
And here's another thing.
The condoning of the cartel.
Here's another thing.
You.
The owners and coaches are held to a higher standard than the players are. And, oh, by the way, Roger Goodell has ruled with an iron fist for players. They want to see what you're going to do to an owner.
My whole point is bust him for what he's busted for, treat him for what he's busted for. But when it comes to human trafficking, use this as an opportunity to raise awareness, to talk about that. Don't tie his name. That's the same thing as tying child labor to Nike users and drug users to the cartels.
Lance, no one's saying that you should do that.
No,
we're talking right now about how the league's going to react.
I know.
And Roger Goodell is going to come down hard on
you. Are saying that because of the you just said that.
No,
because of the cartels.
No, I'm not saying that you should. All I'm saying is that, hey, it has been. Columnists and headlines
that's all I
have
said.
Put him
it
on this.
Be. All I said was that shouldn't be the case.
Well, it is, though. It happened. It's already happened.
And then you're making my point for me. They shouldn't rule on that because that's already happened. They should be consistent with what the issue is and not tie him directly to it. If you don't tie drug users, marijuana, coke, everything, anybody that's had a cartel that has killed someone, you don't immediately lead with cartel.
No.
With somebody who uses or even sells.
No,
frankly.
No, absolutely not. But indirectly and by 40 different, if in fact, we don't know, first of all, we got to find out whether or not this is a
exactly.
sex trafficking place.
But if an NFL player bought drugs and was caught
still,
up in a scheme,
he's going to come down harder on him than he did on Ursa.
You're probably right, and it shouldn't. And it,
well, that's well, all I said.
Ahead.
That's all I said.
Before
is
we go,
what's
if an NFL player was down in Miami and bought drugs and was caught up in a major drug trafficking ring just because he bought drugs, but not because he was actually, you know, a facilitator, they would attach his name. NFL player arrested in a major drug trafficking sting. That's what is happening to Robert Kraft right now. If it's sex trafficking, I don't think that should mean more for him because he's a patron, I guess you want to call it.
Not distribution.
Yeah.
Would a player be tied to distribution?
No, he'd be tied to being caught up in a drug trafficking ring because he bought drugs in a sting. That's essentially what Robert Kraft did. He paid for something in a sting operation, and now his name is tied to it. And really, the whole women aspect of it will be a bigger deal than the trafficking thing because this is the environment we live in. You're taking advantage of women in that way. The NFL is going to hit them hard.
Well, the environment is also, it's salacious. Let's leave with that headline. Because the headlines have been, I've read a couple headlines that were a little clickbaity. And I'm not a big fan of, but that's headline writers. I mean, as headline writers everywhere will take liberties with headlines that do not really necessarily give a full, and by the way, people who write articles don't write the headlines, just so y'all know that. When you get mad at something because you feel like it's clickbait, that's a headline writer doing that. I know this much. Here's somebody you never get mad at. How about your Houston Rockets? All they're doing is just going in without James Harden and winning against the Golden State Warriors. Does that make you happy? It should make you happy. By the way, today is Mix and Match Monday. So if you want to get in there, there still could be some tickets. It's a chance for you to go get the hot dog, popcorn, your choice, bottle of water, beer, soda, your choice, ticket. To the game tonight, in their matchup tonight against the Hawks, and this is all available, and a Rockets jersey shirt as well. It's all available if you go to Rockets.com. But I want to tell you about what's going on Saturday, and it's this Saturday. It's the 7th annual Rockets Dog Walk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, benefiting the Herman Park Conservancy. Perfect event for you and your furry friend to enjoy the beautiful Lake Plaza at Herman Park. You can choose between two different walking trails. You got the 1 mile walk or the 2.7 mile walk within the heart of Herman Park. All participants are going to get a t-shirt, a goodie bag, and a ticket to an upcoming game. Register today at the 7th annual Houston Rockets Dog Walk at rockets.com/thedogwalk.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers,
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 823 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Robert Kraft, a big story, and what's going to happen with that. Rockets winning. Will Dell, how many ESPN of these PTIs around the horns and all of these different shows, are the Rockets better without James Harden? Will that question be asked today?
I haven't seen it yet, maybe because the game was on a Saturday. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine they'll put it in reverse after this whole unstoppable tour, which is apparently actually the unguardable tour.
Would it reverse, Terry?
I don't think they're going to do that. Because every day they would talk about how 30 points, the Rockets have to play this way because Paul is not right. I don't imagine it happening.
Did that game refute the Rockets have to play that way?
Anyone who bought that when Capella and Paul were back.
Yeah, once
is
that,
out
that's
of their,
over.
Out of their mind.
That argument's
crazy.
Over.
Well,
I get it when they weren't there.
Rockets have play like that is an over. That argument's over as soon as Capella got back. Frankly, as soon as Paul.
But they didn't against the Lakers. That didn't stop. It really didn't.
Well, no, I mean, James is going to be ball dominant. Last year, I don't know if y'all know, last year's ball domination numbers, very high for James. Very, very high. People were acting like he was just like off the ball. James, it was the most ball dominant season for a guard in years. Last year.
Yeah.
So that's not really changed. The narrative because James has been scoring 30 has changed to where James is somehow hogging everything, which is not the case. But he is very ball dominant. But now the difference is it's every game where some games and some quarters there was no number to reach. There was no magic number. So James might back off for an entire quarter. You know what the best thing in the world would be for the Rockets? For James to score 26 points and this to be over and the talk to be over and maybe any pressure he has to continue this record will be over. Because when you have a hit streak, you can say whatever you want to. Oh, the only thing that matters is the team winning. You get to 21 hits, man, you want to get to 22. And that's okay. But, you know, it can't supersede. Now, here's the difference. Getting an individual hit in an individual baseball game doesn't necessarily – it doesn't hurt your team if you try as hard as you can to get a hit. If you try as hard as you can to score a certain amount of points, that can hurt your team.
Yeah.
I don't feel like James is really on the whole hurting his team, but the best thing in the world is going to be when James stops scoring 30 because that stops being a talk. It stops being any kind of ancillary concern. It stops being a subconscious concern or a fully conscious concern, and they can get back to...
I don't know why, but that's not the case with the Rockets. Their unguardable tour, Daryl is all on board, Tad, the Rockets' Twitter site.
What bothers you more, the hashtag unguardable tour or James scoring 30 all the time?
It doesn't bother me that James scores 30 as long as it's in the flow, but when it's forced and he's in a 19-point game and just to shoot in the last minute to get really, this is so contrived.
You know what I don't...
It makes it contrived.
I'm not crazy about... is the front office, and specifically Daryl and Tad, you don't have to tell us how good James is. You don't have to cape for James. We know.
Yeah.
And for people who don't like James Harden, guess what? I don't care what you say publicly. I don't care what you tweet. It's not going to change a thing. Not one thing you say is going to change anything about the guys at TNT, if they don't like him, about other basketball players, about certain fans or whatever. It's irrelevant. What you say is irrelevant to what they think. James is a phenomenal player. James is not going to ever be this cherished. He's not going to be Steph Curry. He's not going to be LeBron. It's never going to happen.
They're not going to like
James.
No, he's not going to be
what he is. Is he's going to have? He's going to be the edgy. He's going to be a high scoring player with a little edge off the court that is not always going to be easy for some people to get behind. He's going to play the game with a little bit of a loophole mentality with the basketball. You know what? So what? He's your dude.
You backed him. You've extended him. We get it. You love him.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
You have to tell us.
You don't have to tell us. We understand. And you know what? Maybe instead of tweeting about the unguardable tour, maybe find a way to pay Daniel House so he's on your roster so you're a better team. Mm. If you want to, you know what will make people love James, or maybe not even love him, but begrudgingly expect him? Have the best team around him and go win a title.
Yeah, my whole thing is I just don't think you have to tweet a bunch of stuff out or have a chip on your shoulder. I just don't even think it's necessary to have a chip on your shoulder. I get it. It's human nature to think you're being treated unfairly by media or whatever. And some of it has been unfair to the Rockets and to James Harden. Some of it has been. But ultimately, who cares?
Well, to me, just like the MVP and Daryl with the against Russell Westbrook and all the stats and all the crap and all
the stats.
Oh my God! You know what they in the last 20 games in this Golden State game, the last 20 games that James has played, what's their record?
Last 20 games, I would say 8-12.
No. 11-9.
Yeah.
The Rockets are?
The Rockets are 11-9.
So they're better than Golden State.
No, they're 11-9. That's two games over 500 in a 20-game stretch. That's not great.
Not 20 games against Golden State, the last 20 games of the season.
No, last 20 games of the season.
I thought you just said the last 20 of the Golden State.
I'm not counting the Golden State game because he didn't play in it.
Excluding Golden State. Yeah, okay, that's different. I was thinking the Rockets are 8-12 against the Golden State Warriors the last 20.
That feels probably about right. I don't know. Somewhere. Although they win in Golden State.
They might be better.
They're 11-9 over their last 20 with James on the floor. And I know they didn't have Capella. I get that. But some of the games that they – and some of the – stop worrying about unguardable. How about winning? How about – this was a 65-win team last year. What the hell happened to that? When did unguardable tour become more important than Rockets wins?
I hope it comforts them.
They're not winning.
They can't win because they're finding something else to talk
about.
Promote
that?
Yeah. We're not winning as many games as we did last year. How do you put that in a tweet? Yeah.
No.
I hope that MVP.
But this whole worry about this thing.
It has become very individual.
I don't know. Because we know the Rockets have set a standard. At least we believe they set the standard where winning is what matters. We're chasing the Warriors. We want to beat them. That's what we want to do. We want to be an NBA title team. So I hope the MVP last year comforted them after Game 7. And I hope this unguardable tour comforts them if they don't win. Because it's something they're leaning on, and I'm not sure why. Because if you think you are at a certain point where, yeah, we can compete for a title, and they kind of proved it last year, all of this is ancillary. I guess it gets you through the season. Maybe it's something the Rockets Twitter account tweets out because it's fun for the fans. You're speaking to the fans.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
Why are the president and the GM talking about
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Y'all got a hell of a player. We know.
Yeah, we understand.
We get it.
I do. It's an MVP candidate every year.
I guess because when they were 41-41, you know, he wasn't even on the first, second, or third team.
Didn't deserve to be.
I agree. Didn't a whole lot, but Daryl didn't think that. Well, second league scorer in the league, and he's not on the first, second, or third team. Daryl's got his guys back,
and that's great.
He should have his guys back. Great. But this turned into James and not the Rockets.
Last year was about the Rockets. And you know what's crazy? Is that was his MVP year.
Yeah.
But there was something so – you know when people really – stars – bring individual fans, teams bring communities. And the Astros have a bunch of good players, but when you win or when you're a likable, like that Rocket team last year, I really enjoyed watching them, man. I love the grit, the grime, the determination, the heart. That was a fun team to back. The Rockets team back with T-Mac and John Barry, and you know, they had all the injuries and this and that, but there was some grit
fun.
And grime to them, and that's when T-Mac and Yao were both healthy for a little bit when they lost to Dallas after winning the first two. But it's always going to be about when you have a team that you can get behind because you enjoy watching them play and how – when it's about one individual, you're never going to get a community behind one individual. You'll get fans, not community, and you want to build a community around teams, so
yeah. All right, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. You guys, we'll get you on the other side here with your Rockets talk, but we got to catch up here. One of the things that we're doing today is introducing a brand new sponsor to the show, and it's Luxor Staffing, LUXOR, LuxorStaffing.com. I talked to Katie on Friday, and you want to talk about a mover and a shaker? She's unbelievable, and she. She's so passionate about this. If you have a business anywhere from 15 to 5,000, it doesn't matter. And the bigger you are, and I'm telling you, you will get a customized, every single every single client of theirs, and they have big name clients, Luxor Staffing, they have somebody on it. They customize it directly for you. Every single one of theirs is different. Every single, because your business is different than another guy's business. They do a lot of factory stuff. A lot of factory stuff. So if you make a product, and it's awfully difficult to get people, and one of the hardest things for you is getting people that you give, that will stay there, will be there. Listen, you don't have, for 90 days, you don't have to worry about that employee. They're not under your hospice. They are under the care. They are under the supervision of Luxor. So if they have to fire them within 90 days, you don't have to do a thing. All of that paperwork that you have to get rid of to fire somebody, all of the Affordable Care Act, all of the other stuff, you're not responsible for. It is so, so hard to get somebody that is going to be with your company, especially when unemployment is way down, because guess what? There are a lot of people out there that are just trying to work you. Let Luxor Staffing do that. LuxorStaffing.com. Just go to their website and see for yourself how you can have the best staffing company in maybe the history of the world. LuxorStaffing.com, 713-429-4140, 713-429-4140, or LuxorStaffing.com.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is true. Tommy says maybe you guys can use Luxor Staffing to find a new producer who doesn't record nasty audio clips of you two.
Well, maybe I should find Luxor Staffing or hire them to find two guys who won't call me Scott Foster when I'm not here.
That's not what happened.
Well, that's what I was told.
No. We'll tell you during the break.
Scott Foster actually turned into.
No, we did call. It started off as Dell with Scott Foster, where he was.
Can't work with him anymore.
No.
He was.
I feel like it was.
He was rude.
Others were way? Scott Foster.
You were rude.
Rude, yeah.
And arrogant.
I'm not arrogant. I'm not rude either. I simply respond to what's been given to me.
And then it went sideways. And Raheel's like, yeah. Like, Scott Foster always tells me whenever I'm like, Scott Foster just gets in my personal space at home. And like, and then Scott then Foster turns into
Foster
a different
spends
thing.
Too much money. Scott Foster.
Hey, Scott Foster. You know,
Scott Foster doesn't blow nearly as many whistles as he used to.
When I get home, I shouldn't have to do anything with the kids. Like,
what?
Scott Foster.
Scott Foster.
Did Raheel get suspended for criticizing the referee? That's why he's not here today?
No, Raheel's not here today because he's lazy.
I thought he was criticizing Scott Foster, and now he's not here. Because James got
Scott
got
Foster
hit.
Told him to stay home, probably.
Got suspended.
James got hit.
James did get hit. 25, large. I don't know how James is going to get through that, these hard times. In this economy, 25,000.
That's the number, though, by the way.
Biscuit wants to get in here and talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Hey, what's up,
Biscuit? Morning to you.
You too.
Hey, man, a couple things. One, I think that the Rockets beating Golden State without Harden, that hurts him in the MVP vote, I believe. I think the narrative has already been tough for James for whatever reason, nationally, but I think now the Greek freaking Paul George is kind of leapfrogging with that performance that the Rockets put on without him. And then my other thing is, and this is where I will go to you, Dale, my Cougars. What's the difference between being a 2 seed and a 3 seed and the difficulty far as getting to the Final Four from either slot?
That's
it seems like the 2-3 matchup is in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, what's the difference there?
No offense. That should be a question for me. I had 3 of the 4 Final Four teams last year.
Who did you get those teams from?
713-780-3776. You guys want to call
did
in?
Did you get anything when he won?
Yeah,
did,
when you casually asked me questions and I got you three of the final four, what did I get from that?
A lot of shine.
No, so, you didn't.
We built your brand.
You don't even give me shine for that.
No, built your brand.
So how much more often
does... What is the difference, Dale?
How much more often does a 3 lose to a 14? Or a 3 lose to a 6 as opposed to a 2 and a 7? I mean,
I'll look it up right now.
Obviously, 3s lose more than 2s do, right? Because the two losing is a big deal.
But we know we've heard the 15. Oh, that's the thing we always react to.
14s are pretty good basketball teams.
Yeah.
They're not, well, they're actually bubble.
Records.
They're not bubble teams.
They're automatic qualifiers.
Yeah.
Are better automatic qualifiers than some of the bubble teams.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Overall tournament
but
records.
But the 15 and the 14, you're playing the 15 in the first round.
Here it is. Overall tournament, 2 versus 15 all time is 94.1%.
And what's 3 versus 14?
3 versus 14 is 84.6%.
So it is better to be a 2 than a 3.
And this is in reference to the Cougs, who are pretty much on that 3 line everywhere.
4-13 is amazing.
Did you see the net rankings this time?
No, I know
net rankings are what they're going by and not RPI. They're using net rankings, and they have said that they're going to be the predominant rankings that they'll use. Cougs were fourth in the nation.
Yeah, we had a caller talk about they were fifth at the time a couple Fridays ago.
And they're fourth now.
It's still third, though. It's still third.
Everywhere has them as a 3 for whatever reason, despite the net ranking.
That's still third what?
A third of they don't. It's not the only thing. There's other factors.
But when the committee gets together, they rank them. I mean, it's not a third, a third, a third.
That's why
it's
everyone has Houston number right. 3 because when the committee gets together and the human side comes in, you just
Except,
can't believe that the Cougars are that good.
That's I'll tell you why. This: watching LSU this weekend,
I believe they are that good. By the way, I don't let the record reflect.
That helps. I know they've only got the wins over Oregon was only ranked team that they played at the time that they played them, but LSU is showing that they're a lot better basketball team. And, you know, always beating Oklahoma State. I know they're not very good this year, but beating Oklahoma State when they actually had their guys before they were shooting BB guns into cars, that's still a good, at least it's a name win. You know what? They're not going to be a 1 seed, even though they're a top 4 team in net rankings, but they could be a 2 seed. They absolutely can be a 2 seed. Now, they got to get through this. They got to beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati in the last game.
And may have to face them in the boat. Well,
and then they'll face them again. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I think they showed that they can't beat them. Sir. Absolutely, they can beat them.
I'm just looking at where, I'm looking at the net, and you mentioned they're fourth behind Gonzaga, Virginia, and Duke, which pretty much everyone looks at and sees three number ones in that. And then following them is Kentucky. Who lost to that LSU team, North Carolina, Michigan, who just lost to Michigan State, Tennessee, and Michigan State. Those are the teams they're competing against for a 2.
Well, I think they show that they are a 2.
I know what they've shown. You just feel like history and biases will say, you're good, but you don't have the resume, despite what the net ranking says. We believe on a neutral site,
right,
those teams are better.
And, you know, well, we'll see. I mean, they're going to have a hard time. Those name teams, Kentucky, Michigan,
so,
North Carolina.
So the Jeff Sagarin ratings, which a lot of times you can use for handicapping purposes.
I used to.
I don't know if they still are. You know where the Cougs are there? Take a guess.
I have no idea.
18.
Wow.
18. Their strength of schedule ranking is number 95.
18. So, and Sagarin uses numbers. What's their number versus the number 1 team in the, or let's even say the 5th team in the nation?
The 5th.
What's Sagarin's number? For them.
Well, they've got you have to use the predictor, pure points. So the predictor for them is 86.93, which is 20th. So 86.93 versus
okay, what's
Michigan 6? Michigan said they'd be a 7-point dog on neutral
would they?
Court.
No, they wouldn't.
7-point dog is what he's saying the numbers
on a neutral
say.
Court, there's absolutely no way they'd be a 7-point dog.
Now, the recent number, in terms of recent numbers, how they played recently, the Cougars are 9. So maybe recent is more what we should use.
Yeah.
Maybe recent. They're 9 there. They're 12 under the golden mean, whatever that is. I have to go look at golden mean. They're 20th under Predictor. And I will say this. Sagarin's numbers, clearly they have kind of advanced them because his old ratings, you know, the way that he's done it, has them at 18 and then 20. But then when you use the golden mean, which I'll have to read exactly. Golden mean utilizes the actual scores of the games in a different way, but is also completely score-based. So in other words, that's more of the Vegas number. The Cougars would be right now number 12, which sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable, but I don't know. I just feel like it's...
Yeah, you're right. Recent, they're 90.92, which would be way up there. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. We got to catch up. Charles, you'll be first up on the other side.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Here is a headline. Giants expected to formally commit to quarterback Eli Manning as starter in 2019. That's unfortunate for the Giants and their fans.
I swear to God, the love affair with Eli Manning to me is absolutely unbelievable. I do not get it. I do not get it. They almost revolted last year or 2 years ago when there was talk of Eli being gone or traded. Raider fans did that to me whenever I gave them Kyler Murray in the mock draft. They were like, I couldn't believe how mad Raider fans were at me for giving them a quarterback. They said, we've got a quarterback. Derek Carr. Like, they are all in on Derek Carr.
I don't know.
The Giants
is Gruden
fans,
all in on Derek Carr?
We'll find. I just know the Raiders fans were. I know that the Giants fans were like, they're ready to mutiny when they heard that they might go with a different quarterback other than Eli Manning last year. I just thought, this is insane. And then now smart, the Giants fans who are more analytics driven, they just said that it's a big problem drafting a running back number two ever instead of drafting a quarterback. And now they're on quarterback patrol because their whole thing is now, all right, we're going to see how Haskins or whoever does versus Sam Darnold, because they could have had Sam Darnold last year.
Yeah.
And they didn't take him.
I think maybe a mistake. I know Saquon is awesome, but that position is so important. Would you rather have Sam Darnold or Dwayne Haskins?
So
who, which one?
Sam.
Yeah.
I have a 7 on Sam.
Would you rather have,
but you know what,
Kyler or Dwayne Haskins? Gun to your head, which one do you draft?
Man, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Kyler. Hmm. I just feel like he can make plays. Go tell me the pocket passers who are not very mobile, who have made a big difference with bad offensive lines.
I just feel like he's a runner, not a thrower.
I know, Stephen A. But pocket passers, if you go try to run the numbers on pocket passers, and I don't mean just pocket passers. I mean immobile players, because he's not very mobile. And then you stick him behind subpar offensive lines. Do you know those numbers are terrible? The winning percentages for low mobility quarterbacks behind bad offensive lines is really, really bad.
Well, I think that's a terrible combination, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's the point.
Poor planning. I'll give you this combination then. You would say there is no running back close to Saquon in this draft?
No.
Okay, so if you're the Giants, say you take Haskins or Murray at 6. Murray / Haskins plus Saquon, would you take that over Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold and what?
So Sam Darnold,
well,
Josh
Jets
Jacobs.
Are 3. So
say Josh Jacobs at 6. You could have had Josh Jacobs.
I don't know. I'd take Darnold and Jacobs.
I might take Darnold and Jacobs too, believe it or not.
Feel like Saquon.
I know
Josh
it's
Jacobs
hard.
Is good, but Saquon is, at least we've seen in his rookie year, is a special.
Let me tell you, there's more
guy.
Unknown. Yeah, Saquon is like Saquon is generational potential.
Yeah, even great running back. I mean, we've seen it through Barry Fox. We've seen Sanders. We've seen Walter Payton forever.
It didn't
matter.
Is
if you
Sam
don't
Darnold
have
that
guy,
much better than the other two?
No, we don't know that.
He could be a generational back, and you still would lose. You can still lose.
But is Sam Darnold with his numbers
that's the thing.
That
we don't
much
know.
Better than
we don't know.
You think he's that much better than Murray Haskins?
He's flash, but what I saw from Sam that I liked a lot was, number one, he doesn't rattle. He can play in, I think, any type of system. Number two, he doesn't rattle easily at all. He is just almost impervious to pressure. It doesn't change who he is, which is why he was uniquely suited for New York. And the Jets got him, so he's still in New York. I don't think that's true about every player. Kyler might see. I thought Josh Rosen, if you stick him in New York, it was going to be a bloodbath. Josh Allen in New York, bloodbath. I think there are certain people who can do well in New York, and that's one of the things. But he's also got – he's kind of twitchy upper body. He's mobile. He's big. He processes quickly. There's a lot of – he throws on the run well. He's got a big arm. He's got accuracy, although I argued that he wasn't as accurate as a junior as he was as a sophomore. But Sam Darnold I think Sam Darnold's going to end up being a really good quarterback because I think he's going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
Kyler has – what scares you about the top two quarterbacks in this draft, and I don't think Daniel Jones is one of them. What scares me about them is they've got one-year starters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, Sam had two, but we also saw some holes in Sam Darnold's game as his second year starting. All of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute, I thought he was just going to tear through everything. Nah, it's not that easy. That's why you need – Cardale Jones, if Cardale had come out after winning a national championship, there was so little relative tape on him, he would have been drafted inside the first 50 picks easily. It might have been a first-rounder. Big, big arm. Once he played the next year and everyone kind of – and he was exposed mm-hmm. on tape, it was like, ah.
There you go.
That's why.
All right, 8:57, catching up on breaks. Charles, we promise we'll get you on the other side. We just got to catch up. Raheel's going to join us, too, right here on ESPN.
No, he is not.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
You look sad.
He's a jerk.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.